Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where usually we're interviewing runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences, but today we're back with another Wednesday mini episode. If you didn't know, September is Suicide Prevention Month, Mental Health Awareness Month, so I wanted to tell a little bit of my story and my experience with things like depression and anxiety in sports. This one's a little bit vulnerable for me. I'm going to do cameras off for this one so that this one won't be up on YouTube. But if you're somebody that's sensitive to topics of suicide or mental health or mental illness, feel free to click off now. I promise you, I will not be mad at you for skipping this week's episode. But without further ado, let's jump right in. All right. Well, let's talk. I was a very active child. I started really, really young. My sport was softball. I didn't just play rec league softball. I got into club teams really quickly. And if you're somebody that's played on either a softball club team or like a soccer club team or something like that, you know that it can be really intense. And you really start to get really high expectations of yourself at a really young age. So I started playing on club teams or knowing about club teams when I was about 10. Started to get really competitive when I was around 12 years old, and the club teams that I played on when I was 12 were kind of like a recruiting style team. So you either had to know people that played on the team, you had to be a standout on your rec team, you had to have like gone to exposure tournaments in the area, something like that, or you could try to like walk onto these teams. But it's very much a college experience, but at 12 years old for softball. To give these kids even more pressure, you also start to hear about college exposure camps and college exposure and getting into good schools when you're around the age of like 13, 14. So the idea of having these really long and intense goals were kind of ingrained to me at a really young age. And I just felt like I was competing for my future when I didn't even really know what that meant, if that makes sense. To paint like a better visual for you. So these college exposure camps that I used to go to at 13, 14 would literally it'd be on these giant fields at colleges or big high schools. And there would be college scouts sitting in the stands all the way around the fields. And what you would do is you'd go station to station in front of these coaches and you would hit a ball off a tee. You'd hit live batting practice. If you pitched like myself, you would have to pitch in front of these people. And then by the end of the week, they would basically give your coach a list of the people that he was interested in or that they were interested in. So it was a little intense for 13, 14. After playing in middle school, obviously I played for my high school team. I played for my high school team at the same time I was playing club because they were different times of the year. But playing for that high school team absolutely stressed me out. It was, when I was playing club, I was playing with the best of the best, people that wanted to be there, people that wanted to compete. So it was really easy to like ingrain yourself in that environment. When you go from playing club back to a high school team, especially a high school team that hasn't had a record of winning, I really put a lot of pressure on myself to make the team win, like to help the team win. And I just remember being extremely hard on myself. And I remember feeling extremely responsible, especially because I was one of the only pitchers on this team. I would feel extremely responsible when the team would lose. And it would get to a point where I would be sobbing after every single game. I remember wishing at the time, like when we would lose a game, I remember wishing that I was injured or that I broke something or that something would take me out of the game that wasn't like myself, because it stressed me out so much to be on this team and to feel like people didn't care and people weren't working towards a common goal. So in my mind, when I would go back to my club team, I had all these girls that I had to compete for colleges with, and feeling like my high school experience was setting myself up to fail. In high school, I convinced my mom to take me to the doctor because I was having a lot of pain in my chest. I would feel like I couldn't breathe in the middle of a game and I couldn't figure out what was triggering it. I didn't know a lot about panic attacks, about anxiety, about depression, about sports like psychology or anything like that back in the day. So when I thought it was a physical problem that I was having and that needed to be fixed. But now that I'm a little bit older, I know that those were panic attacks. And unfortunately, those panic attacks didn't get any better. They just got worse and worse and worse as I got through high school, to a point where playing softball for me was debilitating. It was still my life. It was still what I wanted to do. But it got to a point where I was doing it because I thought that that was what I was supposed to be doing. On top of that, I mentioned I was a pitcher. If you were a softball pitcher or you know a pitcher, you know that typically the pitcher and the catcher have to work a little bit harder than the rest of the team. I had additional practices to everybody else at least twice a week. I would meet with my pitching coach. I'll talk about my pitching coach a little bit, but he was the absolute best person and he meant a lot to me. So these workouts to me were kind of a break from the pressure because I got to work under somebody that I respected and that pushed me and had a common goal to me. But I still had to work harder than everybody else. And I think I realized that throughout high school that I was having to put in a whole lot more effort than everybody else. And I want to throw a positive in here because there's a lot of negatives that you'll hear in this story. But what I will say about that experience and having to work harder than other people is it's really helped my discipline now. But what I can recognize now that I'm a little bit older and a little bit more mature was that, yes, that's helped me be more disciplined, but that was also leading to burnout. And the panic attacks were signs of burnout. And how I was feeling practice to practice and all of the anxiety I was feeling was from burnout. And, you know, I just want to say burnout is real and you have to be mindful of it because it can lie to you. It can tell you that you're not good enough. It can tell you that you're not going to make the team that you want to make. It can tell you that you can't do the things that you want to do. It can lie to you because your brain only has a certain amount of space. And when you're feeling burnt out, your body and your mind is really just screaming for rest. Throughout middle school and high school, it wasn't really cool to try. I don't know if it was like that in every middle school and high school experience, but I remember specifically in my hometown, like it was not cool to try. It was not cool to be passionate about things. It was not cool to be good at your sport. Like it was not cool. So I found a lot of solace in the teams that I was on, especially the club teams that I was on. I knew how to make friends when I was on a team. It was an easy dynamic for me. I just, you know, I knew that dynamic. So when I got to college, I went down to this college in Southern Oregon because I had had some interest from the school about potentially walking on when I as a pitcher for their school, and I was really excited about it. That was the whole reason why I wanted to go to the school, is because it was a really beautiful area and they wanted me to play for them. So I was really excited. And right before I started college, my pitching coach passed away, like literally the summer before I started. And like I said, he was the most influential person throughout my youth. I worked with him for like 9 years. I definitely saw him as a father figure, and losing him was soul crushing for me because it brought me to a point where the anxiety was so bad, the depression was so bad, and I was feeling so uncomfortable in the sport that I loved, that when I lost a piece of the puzzle that I actually loved, it felt like it was all over, and I lost the passion for it. And on top of that, I was really struggling with pitching. My shoulders weren't doing well. Looking back on it, burnout, like I said, is real, and I think I overworked myself playing for that high school team and then playing club and being the sole pitcher on a lot of the teams that I was on. I ended up not being able to walk on at the college that I wanted to as a pitcher because of my shoulders. I couldn't do it anymore. And then I was lost. I was lost. I didn't have the thing. My entire personality was gone, right? Like that was my entire personality. I was struggling to make friends because I didn't know how to make friends outside of a team dynamic. I was realizing that from a fitness perspective, from working out, I had been told what to do my entire life. I was a really coachable student, but when somebody stopped telling me what to do, I lost everything. I stopped working out altogether. I gained some weight and I just lost a lot of self-confidence over time. And that's kind of where the downward spiral started for me. You know, I never really put any action behind this, behind taking my life, but I did think about it a lot during that time because I didn't know who I was without softball. I didn't know who I was without my pitching coach. I would wake up every day and I wouldn't have a reason, like a clear reason why I should go through that day. And so I thought about it a lot. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the people that I had in my life, and I adopted my dog in college. And I know for some people that might not mean a lot, but having her meant everything to me because it meant getting me outside. It meant I had something to take care of. So I attribute not acting on something, on thoughts, to the people that I had in my life and having her. And I kind of lived like that for a while. Fast forward to graduating, I moved out of my college town. Obviously, I had a job for a while. The jobs that I had were sales jobs that, you know, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of like partying. Like it didn't really get me out of any sort of mindset. And it wasn't really until I moved across the country where I started to kind of put pieces together to get out of this stuck mindset that I had found myself in. Like I said, I never truly acted on taking my own life, but I was stubborn enough to know that if I was going to get out of these thoughts, that I needed to do something. So out of desperation, I'm like, I need to try literally anything at this point. There's nowhere to go but up from here. It started with rock climbing, which if you've listened to my first episode on here, I talked a little bit more in detail about that, but I joined a rock climbing gym just randomly, and I joined a lifting class that was through the rock climbing gym. It was at 5:30 in the morning. My boyfriend Sean had to literally pull me out of bed pretty much every single day to get me up for that class. I would roll out of bed and literally throw on a t-shirt, sports bra, shorts, whatever I could find, clean, dirty, didn't matter. I would grab it, put it on, and get in the car, and he'd drive me there. And that was like our routine for a long time. So it gave me the courage, I'll say, not the confidence, but it gave me the courage to try and go for a run. I had heard some people at the rock climbing gym talk about training for a half marathon, and I thought, huh, like I like plans. I'm a good student. You know, I like coaching. The running plan really spoke to that part of my brain about having a coach and being told what to do. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go try to run a mile. My first mile took me about 17 minutes. I walked a lot. I was in so much pain. My hips were killing me. My back was killing me. It was terrible. But for the first time since quitting softball and since my pitching coach passed away, I felt that hole that had been left from losing softball get smaller. It gave me something tangible to work on. Like I said, I loved the plan aspect. I loved that there was an end goal. And I loved that I had actionable steps that I could take to get to that end goal. Now, fast forward a few years later, I've ran a few marathons now. I'm training for my fourth one. I was definitely full send on the running thing from there. It took me about 6 months to build some confidence in running. And then after 6 months, I was really feeling back to myself again. And I had filled that hole that was missing for a really, really long time. And couple of things that I want to say. One, that took an entire environment change to break myself out of that mindset. So if you're feeling stuck, I would strongly consider, if you have the means, of getting out of the physical space that you're in. I really don't know if I would be where I am if I didn't move across the country. As much as I miss home, as much as I miss my family in Oregon, like I really don't think that I would be in the same headspace that I am unless I did that. I also want to highlight burnout. Be mindful of burnout. It can manifest in a number of different ways. I don't have a psychology background. I don't have a therapy background, so I'm not going to speak kind of out of my expertise per se. But for me, burnout showed up as panic attacks. It showed up as anxiety. It showed up as not being able to sleep. It showed up as OCD for me for a long time. There was a period where when I couldn't sleep when I was still living at my parents' house, I wouldn't be able to try and fall asleep unless there was a certain amount of clicks on the clock that was ticking in my room. Like it can manifest in a lot of different ways, but for me, it came up a lot in anxiety and panic attacks. But definitely if it's something that you feel like you might be experiencing, go seek help. I was in therapy for a long, long time working through a lot of this stuff. Second moral of the story I'll say is don't be afraid to take a single step. I didn't feel any different in that rock climbing class, right? Like I didn't feel, and go into that random strength class, I didn't feel any more confident, especially because my boyfriend was just dragging me out of bed. And I will say, I wake up earlier than Sean now, so win for me. But, I didn't really feel any better from that class, but it was a jumping off point for sure that it gave me enough courage to try something new. And it got me to running. And that was something that did make me feel better. So don't be afraid to take that first step. Even if it doesn't feel 100% right, like take the first step and see where it leads you. You never know what's going to click into place, after you take that first step. To wrap us up, I finished my coaching certification course this weekend, and they had some really helpful resources for burnout. I still have my coaching waitlist up. I'm going to be choosing somebody for free coaching in October, probably after October 12th, because that's when I'm running Chicago. But I'll drop my coaching waitlist in the form below if you're curious. I'm going to list off a couple of these resources because I found them really helpful to wrap us up here. But I also want to mention that because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, Suicide Prevention Month, in the show notes are also going to be some mental health and suicide resources. If you're struggling, know that you're never alone and there are people out there that care for you and love you, me included. If you are listening and you need somebody to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I've got all of my contact information on my website and you can find me on social media as well. Okay, so here's some things that you can do for burnout. This is courtesy of RRCA. I had a really awesome certification course with them this weekend. So a couple of things you can do to avoid burnout. You can vary your workouts, so different types of workouts. If you're working with a coach, they can help you do that. You can vary the location that you're running. So if you've been running the same monotonous course over and over and over again, try something new. Join others. I'm a big fan of community. I've met a lot of people. I just told you how I struggled making friends. I continued to struggle making friends when I moved out to North Carolina across the country. And joining a run club, finding some running friends out here has been tremendous for my mental health and for just having like people that I love in my life. So join a run club, a team, find a friend to run with or bike with you. In some cases, you might need to reduce running or run specific cross training if you're feeling burnt out or tired. It might mean that you need to include more deload time in between hard workouts so you don't feel that sense of burnout. Take some time to completely recharge. That's a great one. So rest. If you need to rest, rest. Gosh, your body gives you a million signs to rest, and we like to ignore all of them as runners. But if you need rest, take the time. And then the last one I'll mention, and I love this one. This is probably my favorite on the list, is take off the watch. Stop worrying about numbers. Stop worrying about what your friends think. Stop worrying about what people on Strava think, and worry more about how you're feeling, because how you're feeling at the end of the day is the most important thing. All right, well, thank you for letting me get a little vulnerable this week. Like I said, there'll be some resources in the show notes for you to check out, and we'll see you on the next one.